Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy Wye. I'm Hardy Wye. Join me now as we ask questions. What kind of questions? Various questions. What do you mean various questions? Various questions about stuff. What do you mean stuff? Subjects? What do you mean subjects? Like different items? Don't you mean subjects like a king's subjects? No. Like topics. Topics? Yes. Morning.
Morning.
Coffee?
Yes, please. Man, coffee is so great. I wonder where coffee comes from.
From coffee plants. Like a shrub. Coffee beans are seeds.
Butchie!
What?
You spoiled it.
You asked where coffee comes from.
Yeah, but not all questions need to be answered. Sometimes it's nice if some things remain mysterious.
You're mysterious. Morning. How you guys doing? Hello? I said, how are you guys doing this morning? Why the silent treatment? Lou has me paranoid about answering questions now.
I just think that there should be some mystery in life.
Mysteries like whether you guys had a good night's sleep or feel well this morning?
I'm good.
I slept on my arm and a bunch of pocket change.
Did you fall asleep in your clothes again last night, Butch?
No, I fell asleep in someone else's clothes. Clothes are clothes. What's the difference between a pair of khakis and pajama pants?
One is kind of brown, and the other is softer and looser.
Ew. You can sleep in whatever you want to, man. I know. And Lou is sort of right in a way. People think every question has to be answered. What about saying, I don't know, or just staying silent and thinking? So anyone want more coffee? All right, I deserve that. All right, everybody, come on in this way. Follow me, everybody, in. This is the sparsely decorated study where Colonel Dr. Smith wrote his famous letter to Captain Sobich for the British.
Question.
Yes, the gentleman in the shirt that says Pittsburgh, you'd be surprised.
Yes. I'm looking at how low the ceilings and doorways are. And I'm thinking, were people taller back then?
Taller.
Yes, taller.
What? What makes you ask that?
I mean, if they were taller than we are, these low ceilings really must have been an uncomfortable inconvenience.
In fact, I think they might have been slightly shorter than we are today, because they often had poor nutrition.
Shorter. So these ceilings might have been just perfect for them.
Yes.
Things were more in harmony back then, weren't they?
I have a question.
Yes.
This place has a distinct smell. Is that because it's the smell of old, or did it smell like that when they lived here?
Is the old smell old, or is it new?
Yes.
Did people smell differently back then? Yeah, they smelled like smoke and B.O. I know because we have a time machine. Butchie!
Vocabulary and pronunciation. Lesson 4. Listen and repeat. I will say the word in English, and then I will repeat the word in English. Then you repeat the English word. Question. Question.
Question.
Art. Art.
Art.
Jealous.
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 Apple.
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 Glandular.
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 Inconceivable. Inconceivable.
Inconceivable.
Mop. Mop.
Mop.
By the powers vested in me by the National Board of Directors of the International Order of Loading Dock Workers and Spoken Word Artists, you are hereby awarded the status of journeyman. Be fit and hail.
Oh, man, yes. Hey, you guys have to start calling me Journeyman Lou now.
I have a question, Uncle Hardy.
What is it, nephew?
Why do all the stories you read me seem so, I don't know, abridged?
Well, I've been getting a lot of them from these Reader's Digest collections of abridged novels.
What are they?
Well, they used to publish these books that were a collection of four or so popular novels that had been somehow edited down so you could save time reading but still get the gist or something.
That's like wanting to see the 15 minutes version of an Avengers movie.
Would that be so bad?
But it always seems like there's a lot missing when you read these stories.
Well, there is. And that's the nature of life. Most of it is hidden. And you're fooling yourself if you think you know what's in the spots you can't see.
Oh, now you're scaring me.
Oh, that wasn't my intention.
Can we make up things that are in the spots we can't see?
Oh, we do that all the time. There's whole university departments dedicated to doing that.
All right, just tell me a story.
What is that horrible noise, Hardy? Somebody's taken over the radio. Oh, that's just me playing the trumpet. Doesn't sound like you can play the trumpet. I can't play the trumpet, but trying to play the trumpet gives me great joy, and so it's something that I do in the privacy of my own home. I will take the trumpet and I will play it in my own style, and it gives me pleasure. And I know that this style may not be pleasing to others. I realize that. This isn't for others. Not everything that you do in private and try should be shown to others. Let yourself experiment in privacy. Let yourself entertain yourself. Oh, that sounds very solipsistic. Is that the word I want? Yes. And why are you playing this experiment for people? I thought you just said, Hardy, it's something you should keep private. I am doing it for demonstration purposes, to show you the benefits of being free. Oh, you can be free when you're by yourself and no one is watching and you're all alone and it's just you and God and millions of judging angels. No, no one's watching you. You are free from the gaze, the prying eyes of society. And you're not being judged. And you can take that trumpet and you can say, I'm just going to mess around with it. And if I'm just going to go toot, 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 poot, 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 like that. Oh, I just wrote a Kanye song. But you can just go poot, pootity, toot, and you'll be filled with joy. And it isn't something you have to perform. Oh, art can be just for you. I once visited a society that took something intimate and made it a commodity, made it a public industry. What is that? Clipping one's fingernails. What? Yes, you know, clipping one's fingernails is something we do usually in private unless we go and get a mani-pedi. And I don't often do that. I know I should spoil myself and do it because I should think of my nail health more. People don't think about that. Say, what are healthy nails? I know. Do I have them? I don't know. You have some kind of white line like you're being slowly poisoned by a relative. Really? Yes, it's a residue. I believe are you eating a lot of things that taste like bitter almond? I am lately. Well, you know what could be happening. I'm not saying it is, but you could be cyanide poisoning. Really? Yes. Who are you currently living with? Oh, my arch enemy. Well, I'll tell you what. I don't usually tell people to do this, but I would have him kidnapped. Oh, I think that's very extreme. Oh, it's just for jokes. We'll unkidnap him at the end of the night. It's like some kind of ritual, some party we're doing. Oh, my friends, I'm so glad to be with you. What are you doing, Hardy? I am opening my home and saying, come on in, and you can do anything you want. Here is an open space. Really, anything? No, not anything. By anything, I mean I'm going to direct you like your puppets. No, that's not. I want you to follow your heart. But see, if we all follow our hearts together, this could be problematic. That's why we should make separate spaces where you can follow your heart alone, and I can do my trumpeting. I call that getting sick into the spittoon. That's a little piece I wrote. I like to name everything, too. I feel like if I name it, then I've made something. You know, like it's a child. Like every time I make something, not waste or anything like that, I don't name. But I will if I make something just by accident. If I lay two pens across one another, I'll name it. I'll say, I'm going to call that, infinite discomfort. Number one. Like that. I've had infinite discomfort number two. Again, we're not going to talk about stuff like that, though. Oh, my friends, you've come here for what? A lesson or a tour? Well, let me tell you something. A class is just a tour that hasn't left the first room. That's all it is. We're stuck in the first room. You've come here for a tour, and you've ended up getting a class. Just take a seat. I know it's vintage furniture, antique furniture, but it's meant to be sat upon. And so just sit down on it. I know some of it's going to break. Some of it's going to crumble under your modern weight. Because we're modern weight. And people back then were light as a feather. And that's why a lot of the chairs now are so fragile. Fragile. Fragile is a totally different word. And a totally other language. And because I speak so many, you'll often hear me, like, it sounds like I'm just mumbling or grasping for a word. It's because I speak 287 languages, and it's easy to get them confused. Are any of them ones we'd recognize? No, of course not. It can't be demonstrated. I feel like many of my skills are things that can't be demonstrated. I know I have them. I know I have those strengths. They don't translate into anything social or public. So there's things I love about myself that I don't think you would consider very lovable. Like what? I don't know. But you know, sometimes we feel as if we ought to feel guilty for feeling good sometimes. Oh, life has so many chances to feel bad. Oh, grab on to those little joys. If a cookie gives you happiness, go for it. Some of us are battling unbelievable grief or pain or things like that. Oh, grab on to the little joys. Don't deny yourself. Oh, my friends, don't. Don't deny others those joys sometimes, too. Oh, be patient with one another. And I only say that out of selfishness, because I want you to behave like that to me. Is that selfish? I don't know. I have only one real rule. And that, what is it? And I don't even know that one. So I'm always kind of exploring and looking for the rule book. Who has the instructions? Here they are. Don't bother reading the words. It should be out there in pictures. And by that I mean I look out into the world and I see how do I behave? I will look out into the world and I will see a hawk swoop down and grab an unsuspecting chipmunk. And I say, how do I translate that into the stock market? I don't even know. I don't know what lesson to take from that. I'm appalled. I love the hawk and I love I appreciate the hawk. I have respect for and the chipmunk because they're in the entertainment industry. Just maybe you say just three of them, but those three of them, they're iconic. Those are the three different types of chipmunk. Just like there are three different types of answering a question. And that can be going to be demonstrated now by myself and Butchie and Lou. I want you to come out here, you guys. I'm going to ask a hypothetical question, and then this is the three different ways of answering it. Are you ready, you guys? So our listener asks, What color towels should I buy for my bathroom?
How would I know? Green.
Well, it depends. Is your bathroom a solid color? Do you have wallpaper? If you have wallpaper, you might want to pick a dominant color and try to match that with the towels. Next question. You see, what happened here was this. Butchie immediately recognized that he had no information with which to answer this question. No special knowledge and would not have been helpful. He doesn't know who you are, what your bathroom looks like, and he doesn't know anything about towels. So he might have been rude about it, but he was actually sort of right. Now, Lou has an answer for that question even before he gets it. He has some sort of prejudice or some sort of bias towards green towels. He likes them personally. So he believes that is the answer to your question. He doesn't even have to think about what color your walls are. And then there's Hardy. And Hardy just kind of starts pontificating and talking, reasoning through something in a way that you could do yourself, which is idiotic. What color are your walls? He doesn't know. He's just saying all the reasons he can't answer it, and yet he's using that as an answer. I'll say that again. He's using all the reasons he can't answer it as an answer. That's not an answer. An answer is an answer. Now, if you were to ask me, what am I doing? I would say, I am doing a radio show. I am producing sounds from my mouth. I'm making words. I'm speaking to an audience. I can answer that question because you said, what are you doing? And right now, I'm present. I'm the most on-the-scene person to this crime I'm committing right now. We're going to interview the man on the spot. Hardy White, you're right here committing this verbal crime? Yes, I am. What have you seen so far? Well, just out of nowhere, I started talking to people and telling them things. They say, I didn't ask you any questions, sir. Why are you giving me answers? Maybe I'm not giving you answers. Maybe I'm giving you more questions, or maybe I'm giving you something in between. Is there a world in between the question and the answer? Is there some sort of magical place? Is there some sort of space between the floor and the ceiling? Some secret area? Some air duct in which lives creatures and things and ideas that transcend questions and answers? What are they? I'm not sure, but I've got them for you. Oh, your mind is being read by men and machines. Every day your behavior is being predicted by people who want to infiltrate your mind. They want to say, what are they thinking? What do they want? What are their desires? Let's listen in on their conversations. Let's watch as they correspond. Let's read their letters. Let's go through their trash. Let's try to predict what they're thinking. And let's be there like a con man who's been listening in. I was listening in to their private conversations, and they said they need a car. I'm going to knock on their door and pretend that I'm broken down the street, and that I have this vintage car I'm trying to sell. And they'll say, oh, what a coincidence. And I'll say, oh, I guess it was destined. It was because of God or something like that. I'll use the information that I got from spying on them against them. Yes, that's what I'll do. Oh, my goodness, how many of us fear that there are machines and algorithms and guys named Algorithm who are spying on us and listening to us and trying to predict what we'll do. And I'll tell you how you guard yourself against that. How do you? Well, I tell you what, you become an enigma machine. You find yourself an enigma machine that takes all the information and scrambles it and makes it absurd. Hardy, how can you do that for me? I'll tell you how to do it. I'll tell you how to think things that nobody else is thinking. Scramble your thoughts, rearrange them, make them strange, make composites, make cutout kind of collages in your brain. Take a picture, cut out picture a shemp or something and paste it on a line. I am a shemp line. And they can't get you now. They're going to have something called shemp line shampoo now, Hardy White. You're going to buy something called shemp line shampoo? No way. Then it backfires. It won't work. It's already worked. You have become your personal enigma machine. Hardy White, please guide me. I'll tell you how to do it. I'll scramble your mind for you. Listen to me for a while. and all of a sudden you will find yourself unable to think any certain thing. You won't be able to think one thing. It's like you went to the store and you're repeating to yourself, I need milk, I need butter, I need flour, I need milk, I need butter, I need flour. And then you got to the store and you found some talkative acquaintance there, and he came up to you and said, you know what? My mother has been ill. She's had something wrong with her feet. Milk and butter and flour. And I've been over there helping her. Milk and butter and flour. And I've had to drive her to the store, and I've had to bring her home from the milk and the butter and flour. I had to take her cleaning to the cleanest thing. And then you start to forget. You start to get confused. Why am I even at the store? I can't remember what I needed anymore. My thoughts have been scrambled. Artie White, I forgot what I was thinking about. Good, good. You know why? Because your brain never really forgets what you're thinking about. You've just gone into another room. You're not used to putting down things. You're not used to stepping away from the typewriter and coming into the kitchen and having a cookie. Forget about that novel you're writing. Forgetting about that letter to the editor that you're writing, that angry letter to the editor about how there's no parking at some kind of public space. I'm gonna run for office so they have to have parking down there by the annex post office. I almost call it anal by mistake sometimes. I'm not trying to be funny. It's just the way my brain works. So because of this, you're gonna run for office? Well, you know, you gotta have some issue. Everybody's got issues. I got issues for you. I got issues. I got back issues for you. You want those? They're still good. They're not dated. They're not even about anything. If it's not about anything, it can't be dated. It never goes out of style if it doesn't have any meaning. When I was a child, that is such a lie. I don't even know what was going on when I was a child. A lot of it's just from pictures. A lot of it I'm misremembering. Most of it are just lies. I say I am a child the way most people say, or let me think for a second. I'm just saying that. It sounds like a good beginning to a story. Once upon a time when I was a child, this happened to me once. Or as my mother would say, I laughed. And then tell the funny story. I laughed. A friend and I were walking down the street the other day, and there was a fella that had one of those signs that says, you know, I'll clean your jewelry, or buy your jewelry, wash your car. In my mind, it was a combination of both. And I thought, why would I hand my jewelry to this fella and trust him to put it through this machine that washes it? And then maybe it's a duplication machine, and they've made a 3D printer copy of my necklace. Now, this might not be a big deal to you or to I or to anybody, but what if there was somebody that really had something that was truly valuable? So I'm bringing the Hope Diamond to be cleaned here at this sort of car wash that's really a jewelry wash. There's no such thing. There is, except they're disguised as ball washers on the golf course. If you have a precious stone, especially one of a very high caratage, what they call caratage, take it to the golf course, and there's a machine. It's got like a knob on the top. I don't know what it looks like a tiny little cheese-making device or something. And some people use it for that, like a churn. But you put your ball in there, and in this case, the Hope Diamond, and you pump it up and down. It's got little brushes and soap, and it'll wash it right up. And you got to clean it up if you're going to sell it at an auction at Christie's. They'll say right there, item needs to be clean before it can be sold. Now, you say, I've watched one of those antique shows, and they tell you not to clean it. You ruin something if you clean it. So we've had this piece of beautiful pottery, and we use it for scrambled eggs. And every time we're done eating the scrambled eggs, and we go, no, don't clean it. That's going to ruin the value. So we have, over the years, there is literally a patina of dried egg. And it's thick, like I'd say maybe an inch of dried on egg crust on this antique bowl. And then we found that we could kind of cut it away and use them as sort of egg bouillon cubes. Put them in something and they give a really distinctive flavor to things. It's slightly, I don't know, some people say vomity, but I don't know. I like it. It's grown on me. It tastes like burnt egg. You know when you overcook an omelet? It's a little bit like that. But you can make a stock out of that. You're horrifying me. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be. Gosh, I'm just trying to calm your soul. I'm not trying to save it. I can't save it. I don't have the answers. I don't have any of them. Well, why are you talking to me? Because they thought that would be safe. What if they put someone on the radio who actually had the answers? What if those answers were spoken to the wrong person, or at the wrong time, or in the wrong way? What if those true answers were misunderstood? And so the powers that be thought about it for a while, and they thought, if we put Hardy White on, we'll guarantee that the answers won't be right. That way, they can't be misunderstood. He will not accidentally spill the beans because he doesn't know anything about the beans. He has not been told about the beans. He has not been told about the beans. Anything about the beans is going on in secret. It is obscured from his sight. Hardy White cannot see the beans. So how's he going to spill them? Well, what if we use him as a mule? Like, we give him the beans. He thinks it's a statue of a falcon, a black falcon. But inside the statue are beans. Do you follow me? I'm going to make a G in the air because they did that in the Maltese Falcon. Why are you doing that? I don't know. From the other side, you'll say, that's not a G. That's something else. That's right. That's a backwards G. You're right. That's how you know if you're in the mirror dimension. You make a G. And there is, I don't think there is any kind of backwards G. It would just look like a backwards G. In the mirror dimension. How do you know you're not in it now? I might be in the mirror dimension. Am I just a reflection of another Hardy White? Some other Hardy White whose name is spelled backwards from I? Who speaks backwards? Who speaks in a different way? Who looks a different way? Is his personality a mirror image of mine? Or is it the same? Is it flipped? I do not know what opposites are, really. Is the opposite of mad sad? Is the opposite of mad happy? Is the opposite of happy blue? I do not know. That's for you to think about. Let's put them all out there. Let's play a game of cards where you take the cards and you say, do you want to play 52 pickup? And somebody goes, yes. And you throw the cards into the room in a chaotic style. And you say, let's pick up those cards. And they ask what the rules are. And you say, the rules are whatever you think they are as you're picking up the card. Let's try not to injure one another. Let's make that a rule. Let's try not to impede one another's progress. That could be debated. Let's try not to murder one another. I like that. Let's write it down. Let's write it upon a tablet. Let's write it upon a tablet of stone. Oh, a tablet of stone that may wear away. Let's write it on a tablet of paper. You're going in the wrong direction. Go for something that is more durable. Let's see. What's more durable than stone? Diamond. Write it on a tablet of diamond. Engrave your rules. Thou shalt not kill one another on a tablet of diamond. That's going to fade too. Let's write it on something else. What are we going to write it on? Let's write it on human memory. Let's write it on our genetic code. No, don't write it there because it might turn into something else. All right, let's just write it. I don't know, man. Let's write it in hearts. That's very poetic, but I don't know if it's really very practical. No, I mean literally put it in hearts, and heart surgeons will see it and they'll go, how did this get here? There must be a creator, because how else would you get a little secret message written in the inside of most people's hearts? That's insane. Are they getting them tattooed? Are there tiny people that are living in our veins that are trying to call out to us like Horton Hears a Who? I'm here! And they're writing things on the inside of our hearts like, thou shalt not kill one another. And that's really coming from inside the circulatory system. You're not alone. Oh no, you're getting messages from yourself to yourself. Who's that voice on the answering machine? I think that's my own voice on the answering machine. What? That sounds like that really crazy David Lynch movie. I know. Lost something or other. I lost my train of thought once. And you know, I didn't care. It was burdensome. I didn't mind losing a train of thought. In fact, you say, how do you lose a whole train? You probably had to go out of your way to lose it. Indeed, it's hard to lose a whole train. Ask any magician that's tried to disappear the Empire State Building or an elephant or just a foam ball. But you can't wad up a train and put it in your hand. Oh, no, 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 unless it's a train of a... words shouldn't have. confusing, isn't it? Someone said, what kind of train did you mean? Like on a dress? I don't know. If now looking back, I don't know. I don't know. Was I thinking in pictures or words? I don't know half the time whether I'm thinking in pictures or words. When I wake up in the morning and say, boy, I had a dream that I met a fish. Did I meet a fish or I met a metafish, which is really complicated. I'll get into that later. It's a fish about a fish. It's weird. I wake up and I think to myself, did I dream in pictures or do I dream in words? Was that a movie that I am now interpreting? Or did I interpret it as I went along? The words come to me and then pictures popped in my head. That's when I get up, I say, I dreamt I was in a junkyard. What if I used the word junkyard when I really meant forest? What if the picture was of a forest and I got it wrong when I was interpreting my dream and I woke up and I thought it was a junkyard? I could have gotten it wrong. Oh, witnesses are the worst witness. I'll tell you, anybody will tell you that who's in law enforcement or neurosurgery. They will say witnesses are the worst witness. The worst kind of witness is a witness. Somebody who's seen something, who remembers something, who can tell you something is the worst kind of witness. Witnesses are the worst kind of witnesses. The best kind of witnesses are people who saw the thing. That's what a witness is. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, my God. I was repeating a lie for the long time. I was just... Oh, my gosh. How long did I repeat that lie accidentally? I was just misspeaking. I almost did it again. Pardon me. How many times did I do that? What if somebody tuned out before I corrected myself? How many times have I said something wrong, then corrected myself and thought... Maybe that person's already gone and they missed the correction. How many times have I lied? How many times have I answered a question wrong? How many times have I been walking down the street and this happens? I'll put the sound effect in later of the cars. I'm walking down the street. Somebody pulls up. They say, excuse me. Yes. Could you tell me where Baptist Hospital is? Baptist Hospital. Yes. All right. Go down here to Pasadena, no, to Malibu, and go all the way straight. You'll be on Pasadena, and go all the way down to Clay's Mill. Take Clay's Mill, take a right, take that till it turns into to Harrodsburg or Broadway, I forget. And then it's going to be on your right. Thank you. No problem. Oh, that's not Baptist Hospital. How many times has that happened? I didn't mean to lie to you. I thought at the time that was true. I said it out loud. I felt it in my heart. I'm so sorry that I took you to my new church that I eventually quit. I hope I didn't get you involved in something that I finally got out of. Oh, how many times have I recommended something to you that turned out to be bad? Maybe it was poison to you. You ought to try this new kind of bean, but I'm allergic to fava beans. I personally am not. That's a real thing, though. I'm not saying it for comedy. I've talked about it before. You know that. You've listened to every single word I've ever said, so you know that.
I have not. What am I missing? Hardy, is there a graphic novel series or something where I can catch up on the shows?
If you'd like to know everything that's ever gone on in the shows, but you don't have the time to listen to them, there is an abridged version. It's very exciting. We are really going to announce right now that there is a Miracle Nutrition Digest where each one is taken, every episode is taken, and it's just distilled to its basic, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes, like a song length, like it should be.
Is it an hour? Who's going to listen to 1 hour?
How can an hour of speaking be like a song? You think it's like a symphony or something? People listen to plays that are an hour. People listen to movies that are an hour. People listen to things that are an hour that have some sort of structure to them. Maybe it's a musical. I don't know what it is. Or maybe it's a talk. At least the talk is structured. What am I listening to for an hour of my life, sir? On the radio, what are you doing? What am I doing? I'm doing something a little bit like that white noise app does on your phone. You say, I can't sleep. So I'm going to put on this. I'm going to put on earbuds. All right. I'm going to plug in my phone, and I'm going to press this app called White Noise Rainy Rain Staticky Shush Time. And it, what it does is it makes you have a difference. Like that. A wide range of white noise, rain-like effects, to lull you to sleep. Well, I don't want to lull you to sleep at all. I want to lull you awake. That's not possible. All right, I don't know. I haven't really thought about it, because whenever I've asked myself a question, I've fallen down that hole of, you know, sort of, what do you mean by what am I supposed to be doing? What do you mean by a point? What do you mean by about? What's it about? What do you mean by about? Oh, come on. I know. I'm sorry. I'm just being a jerk. It's about nutrition. Pretty straightforward. What should I put into myself? And then what will come out? Nutrition, they talk about that a little bit. Most nutrition books do not mention your stool very often. But, you know, you want everything that goes in and comes out of you. And I'm just as concerned about what comes out of you, because you take a lot of stuff in that you can't help. Oh, you can't help taking in during the day the things that you can take in. Oh, all the horrible things, all the violence, other people's anger and aggression comes into you. And you know it's going to come out in some form, so let's we concern ourselves with what comes out and how it comes out. I know we need to get it out of there to express ourselves. I like to think that I'm a sort of laxative for your soul. I'm going to help you pass that stuff that you just digested. You took in lots of things. The nutrients are memories. You take in memories. You file them away. You use them. They go into you. But what are you going to do with that other stuff? The other products of the moment? Everything that else came out of you, that surge of hormones that made you angry. What do we do with them now? We make sort of a art out of our droppings. And I like to think this is that. I think this is so awful, and it's a terrible image, but I feel like I'm a chimp throwing my poo at you, but the poo is a blessing. It's not literal poo. It's a poem or art, or some kind of art, or, you know what I'm saying? It's to say, I've thought that, it occurred to me going to see a friend's performance art. I thought, I feel like the monkeys are throwing their dew at me. And I thought, yes, and that's wonderful. And it's wonderful. And so that's why I want to be to you. I'm saying I think we even use the term express. I got to express that. Yikes, right? Oh, being a human. Being a biological creature. It's something, isn't it? It's sort of messy. It's sort of frightening. I'm inside this bag of guts, this moist bag of guts. So much can go wrong and is going wrong. Oh, I know. Oh, I've been alive long enough now that I've seen all sorts of things that happen to people and people I love. I make attachments to people. And so you can understand, you know, when you love somebody, you understand what pain is a little more, because, you know, their suffering becomes personal to you, right? I'm not going to kid. It's hard for me to really care about strangers. I do so when I'm talking to people. So of course, I love everyone. I met them. And sometimes it's hard for me to feel love and compassion for those I'm around constantly. But I'm concentrating on them. I'm feeling if we all do kind of love locally, things will take care of themselves. It's hard for me to have this large concept or something. Can't I just love you? You and I. We'll concentrate on what's between you and I. And then we'll do it again every time we meet someone. I'll say, I now have been in your presence. We've talked. I now care about you. I know it's crazy, but I do. Because I feel like you care about me. It's this weird, it's a paradox, I know, but it's a simultaneous agreement to care. And that's a wonderful thing. And from that sprouts this great love. And only from that is an amazing thing. It's an illusion. We just have to be open to it. Oh, it's like flying in a dream. It's a state of mind. So I'm going to connect with you. And we're going to be open together. We're going to be friends and we're going to build those individual friendships, and then there'll just be this a web of strong, plastic, synthetic, impenetrable web of love. Why is it synthetic and plastic? That's just what popped in my head. Because I felt organic, it might break or something. It will break. You want it to be self-repairing, or something like a spider web that can be re-sewn just by shooting silk from your bottom. Oh my goodness. We're together. How'd this happen? We're in the same...
Is this tour gonna start ever?
It's already started. Honest to goodness, Abraham Lincoln's childhood home is the most bizarre museum on earth. I guess it's a museum. It's a site. You go to it. Really, the place he lived, the site and where the cabin is, two different places, I think. I don't know. It's very confusing. I don't really care. But this cabin, the so-called cabin that was Abraham Lincoln's, I don't think it really was, they've reconstructed it. But then they put it in a sort of mausoleum. They put it inside another marble house. So it's a little wood house inside a marble house. Can you imagine that? Abraham Lincoln's home inside another bigger home. And I'm thinking in the future, let's put a glass dome over that. And maybe just continue to make some sort of endless nesting doll museum memorial. And at the heart of it, this easily damaged, broken down, organic thing, this log home. This log home is at the center of it. You want to build a log home with me? Do you want to build something? A primitive structure? Do you want to make a house? Do you want to play house? Let's play house and build one right now. And we'll all say we're living together and we're doing things and having fun and we're all working on our little farm that we just got. Shall we build a fence? Let's build a mall. Let's build a mall out of logs. Let's build a log cabin mall and we'll sell interesting things. Things that interest us. Yes, I would like to have a record store. At every record cover, every record sleeve is leather. It's leather and it's been personally embossed and decorated by me. And inside is a beautiful vinyl disc. Not the kind of flimsy stuff. Those nice, big, thick collector's editions vinyl. Right inside that homemade leather sleeve. Nothing smells better. It's a little bit leather. There's kind of incense in the air. I don't know why we need that. Nobody's smoking weed in the store. There's a weed store three stores down, the log cabin one. Now, if that's your thing, awesome. There's also a frozen, it's not frozen yogurt. They're calling it that. I don't know what it is. I think it's made out of some sort of root. God bless them. People are inventive. I love all sorts of flavors. I don't get hung up on just one, but I think they only have maple. Now, my friends, you have come here today, what? To be educated, to be entertained, to have time pass? Are you worried about something? Are you in a waiting room? Are you waiting for something? And you're saying, I have nothing to do with this time. Why you think that time needs to have something done with it? That's another question altogether. That's like saying, look at all these sticks. Nobody's doing anything with the sticks. They're just laying there. They fell off a tree. But if you insist, let's take this time and do something with it. We're waiting for the doctor. He's going to be, or she's going to be, or they're going to be just a minute. So let's do this. Let's occupy ourselves with a puzzle. Riddle me this question. I don't know whether to wear a hat. Should I wear a hat?
How would I know?
Green. Well, it depends. I mean, are you going to go outside? Are you going to be inside? Are you having a bad hair day? Do you need to wear a hat? Maybe part of your skull's been removed and it's vulnerable. And you need not just a hat, but a helmet. I would need to know all these things. So tell me everything about yourself. Download all of your experience into me, and then I will tell you what the answer to your question is. So basically, I become you, and then I'm able to answer the question. Well, wait. I'm already me. Could I not answer the question for myself? Possibly. If the answer to the question requires knowledge of yourself, then yes, possibly you could. You may have the best knowledge of yourself, but probably an outside professional does. There's someone who's known you a long time, called your childhood best friend. They probably know you better than you do. A lot of times you won't know what to do, and they say, if you don't know what to do, ask the guy who occasionally trims your bushes for you, who you feel sorry for. You could do it yourself, but you do it because he needs the money. Him. All right. What should we ask him? Go to him and say, question. What should I do with my life? And he'll give you an answer. He's never not given me an answer because he'd prefer just to talk than to actually trim the bushes. So I feel like I'm giving him an out, you know? And he'll say, well, you know, I'll tell you. And then actually he'll give you a little story about his life. And I'll say, well, I don't know if I want to be trimming bushes. You're about to tell me how to get where you are. But I may not want to be where you are. I just said, I think I would like to go to Paris, France for vacation. And you start giving me directions to Los Angeles. I didn't say Los Angeles. And you say, well, I know the directions to Los Angeles. Yeah, but that's not the answer to my question. All of us have answers ready. All of us have answers ready. All of us rehearse. All of us think we know what we're going to be asked. And so we go into an interview and we say, I've got some answers ready. Go ahead. Shoot. Say, what are your strengths? Oh, my strengths I have a multitude of strengths. What are they? That's not a question. If you wanted to know what they are, you would use a command like enumerate your strengths. All right, enumerate your strengths. Thank you. One, I'm an aggressive jerk. I see that. I can see that. You have the job. Really? I wonder what the job is. Well, it's something that requires you to be an aggressive jerk. Hot diggity dig. That's awesome. I knew it would come in. A lot of times, that's how evolution works. You know, just be relentlessly whatever you are, and who knows, you might get called up. And that is really how, there is no better or best. Don't be drowned by that. Don't be smothered by the idea of better and best. Oh, it's a poison idea. It's a poison idea. There are two poison ideas. One involves questions and answers, and the other involves better and best and evaluating. This is best. Sometimes you find, especially when people are evaluating groups of people, that better and best, usually people put themselves in the best category. And when they don't, it's just because they've been conspired against to rank themselves lower. Better and best, it's not the way nature operates. One day's best is tomorrow's worst. One day's worst is tomorrow's best. It changes so quickly, it's hard to keep up with. You say, how would you know who wins a race? I don't care who wins a race. Sometimes the winner of the race is ultimately doomed. Oh, yes. Bad things can happen to you when you win. Did you know that? Sometimes losing's a blessing. You don't know the outcome of things. What, do you think there is no time? You think we're all frozen in one moment? That's the only way to say something's better or best, is if there is no time. But we're living in a stream. It never stops. Oh, so you can't use words like that. Bum, 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 bum. Hey, my friends, I'm trying to be here for you. Bum, bum, bum. I'm drowning out all the voices in your head. Dun, 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 dun. But what if I need those voices? Don't worry, they'll come back. I'm just adding to the chorus so you don't do anything rash. Bum, 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 bum. Hey, relax. Are you brainwashing me? I'm not. I am, in a way. You know what I am? I'm a squeegee man for your brain. I see you're stopped in traffic. I would love to take a squeegee to your prefrontal cortex. All right. Don't you know I have to pay me? I'm not doing it. I'm doing it for love. I'm doing it because I love squeegeeing your windshield, your brain windshield. You go, I can see a little better now, Hardy. Really? Oh, really? Oh, really? Maybe I knew that. Maybe that was my master plan. Maybe I wanted that all along. Maybe I secretly want the best for you. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine someone I don't know wants the best for me secretly? Why would they want that? Unless it was some sort of conspiracy they were trying to get everybody to love and care for one another. Why would someone do that? Because they want to be loved and cared for? Yes. Well, that makes sense. Well, there you go. So you're saying it's for selfish reasons. Yes, for one man, one individual's purpose. Yes, just for me. Do it all for me. No, then.
Because I think it would work out for you as well. Oh, I would love to be loved, and I'd love for you to be loved, and I'd love for you to feel safe and warm. I'd love for you to feel joy. How can I feel joy? What gives you joy? Oh, and you're going to probably say, the first thing that popped in my mind was food. A necessity. Can you imagine that? Oh, yes. And you know, it's relative. If you're very hungry, a very modest thing can be great to eat. Oh, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, a dinner of herbs where love is better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stall-fed ox and hatred therewith. I got it actually from Jerry Clower. It's Jerry Clower quoting the Bible. Something Solomon said. One of those proverbs or something. And it's true. A dinner of herbs where love is better than a stall. And say, well, I don't eat meat. Then it's super better than stall-fed ox with hatred. That's the worst restaurant. Have you been there yet? Stall-fed ox with hatred therewith? It's hard to get reservations. And then when you do get there, it's just the vibe is so negative. And the smell, a lot of you, if you're a vegetarian, the burning beef smell is too much. And if you're not, then it's the horrible people. But Dinner of Herbs is a great restaurant. Do you have one in your neighborhood? You know what we're getting? We're getting a Dinner of Herbs. They don't deliver, but that delivery service that goes up to a bunch of different restaurants, they'll bring it to you. They'll bring it to you so you can get Dinner of Herbs delivered to your home. And better is that where love is. And love is here. Love is in this home. We are just some microgreens away from having a wonderful time. I need some radish sprouts. I need radish sprouts right now and some baby rocket, baby arugula, baby arugula, who had their own radio show, get this, at 4. I may be thinking of Rosemary, but it's one of them. I have my own, how old was I when I got my own radio show? Adult age, around there. I remember, it was around the time that things started hurting me. Inexplicably. So I guess it all later, I don't know how old I was or how long I've been around. Oh, gosh, maybe I've been around for countless, not ions, eons, ages. Who knows? Years and years, people have seen pictures of me going back to the Flintstones. That's just the early 60s. Farther than that, though, cave drawing era. Tens of thousands of years ago. How'd you get there, time machine? Isn't that a joke? Aren't you just joking around? Isn't that some sort of poetic construction? Don't you mean something differently? You don't mean a literal, tangible machine that you get into that travels through time. Do you? Do I? Do you? Do I? Do you? Do I? Do I? Do you? No. See how I flipped it? Now you're saying, do I? No, I'm not. All right. I was trying to do the Bugs Bunny thing where we'd say them both and then I'd say yours and then you'd start saying mine. We'd flip it. I haven't forgotten about the time machine. Dang it. I don't know if it's literal or not. I don't know. I don't know how I know some of the things I know. I just feel like, well, I've been there. I know. Sometimes I don't remember going there, but I have memories of it. That sounds like lies. They're lies. Some people would call them a lie, like pretending to be somebody you're not. You might call that a lie. I don't know. Or a religion or a belief or something. I don't know. Gosh, labels. Do you know there was a time, think about this, when there were no labels. And I'm speaking specifically of Dymo labels, because that kind of plastic, they didn't have that in the 19th century. All right. So if they did have labels, they were this kind of paper kind where you write on it with ink, but not the kind where you emboss actual plastic. Can you imagine?
And then we got those, and then everything became labeled. Every electrical switch said on or off with a Dymo label. Everything. Do not touch. Do not open this window. The electrical box in the utility room said electrical box on it. As if we needed a label. But that's what happens. When you get a label maker, you start making labels. When you get a question, you feel forced to give an answer. When you're given an hour on radio, you feel forced to make a show. But you know what? If you specify it's for entertainment purposes, if you say the answer I'm giving you, I'm not sure if it's true or not. But you know who likes empty spaces? And so I'll fill them with the sound of a human voice giving a made-up answer to a poorly thought-out question, just so we'll have something to do.
My name is Hardy White. If you like what you heard today, please subscribe to our, what is it?
I don't know. What should I subscribe? Some sort of something of the month club. That's too much work. Don't subscribe to anything. Don't. Save it. I'll get you to do something later. Okay. If you like it, we'll think of something later you can do. All right. I haven't put my finger on it yet. We might make something with yarn. Don't buy the yarn yet though. Oh my gosh. I like being with you. It does warm my heart. Oh, people, we can help one another. Oh, my gosh. Myself, I'm such a mess. I'm such a messy, fragile, silly, inept person. You know, that you would be listening or spending any time with me makes me giddy. It just makes me giddy. Oh, my gosh, it makes me feel important. When I'm normal, I might feel like I'm nothing. You know, because I'm scared and confused, aren't you? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Do you? I don't know where the instruction booklet is. I don't know where the instruction booklet is. Let's write it together. Let's write a made-up one together. Our Legos didn't come with any instructions. They did. They did, but we burned it. We made up our own. We took blank pieces of paper, and we came up with our own designs. And we said, put this here, put this here, put this here. See what happens. See what happens. Play with it. Experiment. Make it your own. You can do it in private. Talk into the end of a trumpet. Talk into it.
Say, you don't know what, have fun with it, experiment, play your trumpet, in whatever manner you would like to play your trumpet. Oh my goodness, my trumpet has a very strong, nasty odor for not being clean. It smells like some kind of dried spit mixed with brass.
That's funny, because that's exactly what it is. Wow, I need to care for my instrument better, because that was a disservice.
My friends, I'm so glad that I'm with you today. You have been listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County and New York City, New York, and online at WFMU.org, worldwide. Oh, Selah. I'm having so much fun with you. I love year to year that we can be together, my friends. Some of us have had friendships now, you and I, going back literally years. And I realize 2 years is years, but it's more than that. I've lost count. I lost count at one. And so I don't know how long we've been together, but it's a blessing for me. And I can't say thank you enough. I can't thank you enough. I appreciate having you. Thank you for letting me do whatever I just did, and I have no memory of it, thank goodness. So long, and I'll see you again next week.